Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. They say dead men tell no tales, but don't say that to Dr. Vincent DiMaio. Dr. DiMaio is one of the world's leading forensic pathologists and a leading expert in gunshot wounds. He has played a pivotal role in some of the most provocative death investigations in the last 40 years. Some of those stories are told in the new book that he wrote with crime writer Ron Francell, Morgue, A Life in Death. We invite you into our conversation as we talk about some of these intriguing cases, some of them involving here in San Antonio. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. Email questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. And, of course, Dr. DiMaio, welcome to the source. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
So I know you were instrumental in the Trayvon Martin case and investigation, and also Lee Harvey Oswald, and so many interesting things. But what I really want to talk to you about, first of all, is the Jeanine Jones case here in Bexar County. She is known as the Angel of Death, and she was a nurse that worked here in Bexar County and in Kerrville, and she was convicted of killing babies. So there's a lot of concern that she's going to be released from prison very soon, even though she was a killer. She's a killer. So, so first of all, Dr. DiMaio, how did she kill babies?
Giving them, medications, succinylcholine, which would paralyze, and heparin, which would cause them to bleed. And, they would go into a rest, and then she would resuscitate them and become a heroine.
So it was kind of a Munchausen type of a situation?
Yes, she wanted to be a heroine, and the only way to do that is to resuscitate children, only it didn't work every time, and so she killed a whole bunch of them.
The concern that she could be released from prison soon, she was given a 99-year sentence. People thought that she was being put away forever, essentially life in prison, but that was not the case. And now maybe in 2 years, due to a state law that is trying to deal with prison overcrowding that would release even violent offenders, she's expected to come out. But is there a way that they could get her on another conviction?
Nothing in Kerrville, because the Kerrville people did a good job and got her for everything they could. In Bexar County, she was thought to have killed at least 15, maybe as many as 30 children. But she was never convicted of one case in Bexar County. There's one case that there's some material still left, and they might be able to get her on that, but it's a long shot. The problem is that the medical center destroyed all the records, did a very good job of it.
So this is in the early 1980s.
Right.
The Bexar County Hospital District, she was working for them, and they were concerned that she would bring, embarrass them or make them liable, or what was the concern?
Both. It would make them look stupid. And that they didn't catch her at first. Also, they were afraid they were going to be sued, which they eventually were. But they would look very bad, and heads might roll. And so what they did was they set up a situation where she could no longer be employed based on a technicality. And then they said, okay, go out and get a job somewhere else. And to help you, we're going to give you a good recommendation. And they turned her loose, and unfortunately, Kerrville got her. And when it went to Kerrville, they weren't playing around. As soon as they figured out what was going on, they stopped her and arrested her.
So we're saying that the Bexar County Hospital District in the early 1980s had a strong suspicion that Jeanine Jones, the nurse under their employment, was killing children in order to make herself look like the hero. And instead of trying to convict her, stop her, or disgrace her, or keep her from working again, they allowed her to get a job at Kerrville Hospital.
That's about it. Only it was more than a suspicion. Unless they were awfully dumb, it was obvious what was going on.
How was it obvious?
Kids don't die right and left only in the care of one nurse if you rotate different nurses through. And everyone knew there was something wrong. The other nurses caught on quickly, and they told the doctors. And it took the doctors a little longer to figure out. They thought it wasn't true. And then it got passed on to the board, and the board said, that's going to ruin our reputation. There's going to be problems there. We're going to get sued. We got to do something. Well, fire her. No, we can't fire her because she'll sue us if we fire her. So let's just put out new protocols, make all the jobs ones that she's not qualified for, and then that gets rid of her. And on top of it, she was given a good recommendation.
And now she is standing to be released from prison unless they can find a way to convict her for some of these other cases. And you're saying that is almost impossible because of the records that were destroyed as they were doing the cover-up.
Yes, it's only one case. And I'm not saying it's impossible. It's very difficult. And the problem is that there are legal issues in that the original documents were destroyed. There's not just medical records problem, but there are legal issues.
You've done exhumed bodies before. Lee Harvey Oswald, you exhumed after it was 20 years?
Yes.
But this is a long period of time. We're talking about children. They probably weren't embalmed. So there's probably nothing to work with for you?
Yes, nothing to work with. We did disinter one body, and it was kind of just skin and bone, and you couldn't do anything. And we figured most of the other bodies were like that.
But you did investigate at the time the children when they were first, at least the Kerrville children? What did you see?
There was only one in Kerrville.
Okay.
I helped retrieve tissue that was used to do toxicology and convict them. Actually, no one, even to this day, ever reported any of the cases dying in the county hospital to the medical examiner's office. We saw one body just by chance, but we didn't know what we were seeing. But the other cases, no one ever reported them to the office.
Was this a scandal at the time? Did people know what was happening?
Oh, yes. It was a big scandal. And the contention was to shoot the messenger. And I guess they missed on me since I'm still walking around. Oh, there were threats. You just wait until this blows over, then we're going to fire you. But I will say something. The county commissioners, the commissioner's court, backed me in the office completely at the time. The problem was not with the county commissioners. It was with the personnel in the university and with the Bexar County Board.
All right. We're going to keep talking about the book Morgue, A Life in Death with Dr. Vincent DiMaio. He is the former Bexar County Medical Examiner, and he is an internationally respected expert on forensic science and gunshot wounds. We're going to talk about the Trayvon Martin case and other cases when we come back from the break. Our phone lines are open. You can give him a call, ask him a question, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Dr. Vincent DiMaio literally wrote the book on medical forensic science. The former Bexar County medical examiner joins us to talk about his biggest cases, the Trayvon Martin case, the exhumation of Lee Harvey Oswald, the San Antonio Angel of Death nurse Janine Jones. We invite you into the conversation, 210-614-8980, and Laura is on the line. And Laura, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. Generally, I think of science as something being very exacting, and I've noticed so much in the past several years that when there are high-profile cases, the medical examiners for the prosecution and for the defense can be so diametrically opposed that it just becomes a battle of the experts. And I wondered if you might comment on that.
Thank you for the call, Laura. Dr. DiMaio.
I do work for both sides. And most times the doctors don't disagree that much. It's what the attorneys like to stress, different points that one doctor says compared to the other doctor. Sometimes it's not that clear, and you can just give different opinions. Most of the forensic pathologists are telling what they think is the truth. It's in a way, it's to say they don't really have a horse in the race. I mean, they do their work, and it's objective. You will occasionally get some people who have some very interesting opinions, and I don't think they're based on science.
Okay, so that brings up Fred Zane. If Fred Zane worked under you at the right. Bexar County Medical Examiner's Office, he is
dead now.
He's dead now, died of liver cancer. Never, right. He was never convicted of anything, but he is suspected of manufacturing evidence that probably put as many as 180 people in prison with wrongful convictions.
That was in West Virginia. What happened here, when he came, he was supposed to be like an administrator, and what I had just introduced was DNA evidence. I think we were the first lab in the state to do it. He didn't know how to do it.
He didn't know how to do anything.
Right. So, well, he was supposed to, the problem was in West Virginia. They gave him wonderful references and everything. So you need an administrator, so you hire him based on the references. The DNA was done by other individuals in my office who did it. And he never touched any of the cases. He didn't touch any. We went through our cases three times, re-examined all the cases, and there was none that he touched. We found one case that was wrong, but that's when DNA was first beginning, and it wasn't wrong. It was overread, let's put it that way. Today it would be inconclusive. But I can tell you right now, no bad science went out from the lab because of him.
Okay, but Fred Zane was acquitted, and people say that he didn't actually break the law. But he was unethical, but he read into these results when he was in West Virginia, which an actually trained individual, probably, or someone who wasn't a zealot for prosecution, would not have seen. Well, how come that wasn't illegal?
I don't know. I mean, I was just shocked that he didn't get convicted of something in West Virginia. The problem was, I think in West Virginia, so many people got entangled in this web. And, district attorneys and other people had a horse in the race.
Right.
And they really, weren't too hot about doing it. Maybe that's why he got such great recommendations. So.
Not too different than what happened with Nurse Janine Jones.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, just organizations do this.
Okay. Let's go to another caller with Bob. Hi, Bob. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'm just wondering, who can I contact to keep Janine Jones in prison? My nephew died under her care.
I'm sorry to hear that, Bob.
I can tell you now that the district attorney's office here is doing what the best they can to try to prevent it from being released. But if they can't get her on a case, she's going to go out because she will have served a full time. And they'll have no control on, denying parole or anything.
All right. I'm sorry to hear about your nephew, Bob. And we'll see. We'll keep on top of the story as it develops. Mike has also called in. Mike, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Mile. I read your book on gunshot wounds, and it's a wonderful book. I've had the pleasure of meeting you a couple of times. Really enjoyed that. But my question is, I understand that the mayor, a former mayor of Hollywood Park, now deceased, who died in Atascosa County, there was some question about his cause of death, and I'm wondering if you could comment on that. I understand you're involved in his case.
I don't know what case it is. Is this the one with the mule?
That's the one.
Okay, yeah, they asked me.
It sounds intriguing. Can you give us a fill in a little more?
Well, he was alone with a mule, and it may have killed him, okay. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a bad-tempered mule. But people worried whether he had been murdered or something. I looked at the case, and a lot of these cases I do for free, so I just did it for free. And I wrote a report and gave it to them. And what I could say, he wasn't autopsied, and that's the problem. And the only thing I suggested is that they disinter him and do an autopsy. But it's one of those cases where if you don't have the information, you can't give a valid opinion.
So let's talk about Trayvon Martin. You were involved in that case in an investigation, and that was, as you describe in the book, it is a culturally complex case, but actually forensically it's pretty cut and dry.
It is absolutely simple and cut and dry. And
you found that Trayvon Martin, the young man, basically was the aggressor against Zimmerman, who was the shooter.
At the end, definitely. The thing was, Zimmerman did something all attorneys tell you not to do. He talked to the police, gave them a very detailed description of what happened, and did it on videotape, reenacting it. And everything he said was confirmed by the autopsy. He said he had been punched in the nose and knocked to the ground. Turns out he had a broken nose. Now, when Zimmerman was brought to the police station, the nose didn't appear broken because he was seen by the EMS, who just pushed it back in place. And then he said his head was rammed against the cement sidewalk. He had two lacerations in the back of the head and the imprint of concrete on the sides of the head. And that confirmed his description. And then he said that Trayvon had been on top of him. And by virtue of the fact that the gun was in contact with his clothing, but his clothing was about 4 inches from his body, Trayvon Martin had to be the one on top when he was shot. So it was pretty clear.
Right, but the reason the case became so important or significant in the media at the time was not because the initial accusations weren't that Zimmerman wasn't hunting him, but it was that the shooting happened, the police showed up, and they really didn't do an investigation at the scene, and that they let him off with the stand your ground law, and that raised questions.
Right, but in the trial, he didn't invoke that. The police investigation was really routine for this type of homicide, you know. It wasn't bad. The information I used to confirm Zimmerman's account was information obtained by the police department. And they presented it to the local district attorney, and he said, there's no case there. It wasn't until it became political when the state's attorney got involved.
Just shows you how things, they don't just exist in the morgue. They don't exist in a vacuum, and there's so many other things that come with it. Also, I want to ask you really quickly about the systems that we have across the United States with you as a medical examiner. That's not the system that many other parts of the country have. It's not as reliable of a way of doing things. What do they do?
Oh, about 40% of the states or the territories in the states have coroner systems. And a coroner is not a medical examiner. If you want to insult a medical examiner, call him a coroner. A coroner is generally an elected person with no medical degree who then hires someone to do an autopsy and then gives his opinion based on that. The doctor could say, well, he died of a heart attack. And the coroner could say, I think he had an epileptic attack. And you know what goes on the death certificate? Epileptic attack, because the coroner has the power to put anything he wants and has no medical training. Or what they'll do is they'll take a 2-week course. And it's an archaic form dating back to the 10th century. And it's never been improved. Texas now has a variation of that in that the JPs do it. But what happens is the JPs send their material, their cases, into medical examiner offices. We have about 11 major offices, and they're all quality offices.
And you think that we need to have a national reform?
Oh, yeah. You need it. But the problem is that there's like 3,000 coroners and 5,000 medical examiners. And guess who are the politicians? The coroners. And guess what happened? They advocated doing away with the coroner system in 1926 or something like that. Then in the 1930s and the 1950s. And
right.
Hasn't worked.
All right. Well, what you're doing seems to be working. Dr. Vincent DiMaio, retired, but you're out there still working. That's amazing. Author of the book, Morgue, A Life in Death. Thanks for joining us. Yes, sir.
Okay. Medical examiners don't retire. They die.
Okay. Well, thank you for not doing that. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for tuning in.